B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show right here on 975 The Fanatic. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, all the way from Comcast. There have been a few moments that have been as low as this. I can't remember when a moment could possibly be lower than today as we talk about this game. And, you know, I try to put it in perspective. Like yesterday, the thought came to me that we had no delusions about this team, right? We knew this was a limited team. And the only thing we were fighting for in the last few weeks, we saw that they were an average team just trying to survive their way to the playoffs by winning the division with a fairly mediocre record in a weak division. But no one ever could have expected what happened yesterday. And so yesterday is an indication that this team's soul is broken. And it doesn't get any worse than that, because when your soul is broken, it's really difficult to fix. Like, that's almost a complete reconstruction when your soul is broken. And when you look at your coaching staff and say, can the coaching staff rebuild this? That coaching staff they have, do you have any faith in that coaching staff that they're going to be okay with this coaching staff? Which means all their assistant coaches go by the wayside. But the bigger question is this. The head coach isn't going anywhere because he's still living off the cachet of 2 years ago. Is this head coach capable of seeing what this team is about? And are you comfortable as this team tries to regenerate under this head coach? That's the major question now as we move on. Now, forget about what he said, because his press conferences are turning into, you know, if you listen to what coaches say, you get lost in the reality of what's happening. So what he said, that the effort was there and plays weren't made, a gobbledygook. The Dolphins wanted it more, which is really an indication of what your guy's soul is all about. And he insinuated they have a lack of talent. Everything that can push away his personal responsibility. Now, he's not wrong about the lack of talent. We're going to get caught up in a lot of stuff that's meaningless today. Like, we're going to get caught up in this concept of, oh, they didn't have a balanced offense. Did the Dolphins have a balanced offense? They threw the ball almost every play. Was their offense balanced? They moved the football. So forget about he didn't have balance. Forget about the Ertz drops, all right? I understand they hurt the team. Bottom line is this. The Eagles had a 2-touchdown lead in the second half. Now, you ready for a stat? Teams that have a 2-touchdown lead in the second half against opponents like this, who have won 5 or fewer games, are 42-0. You talk about a meltdown? Yes, this was a historical meltdown that you would give this lousy, crappy team a chance to come back and beat you in the second half. This is a team, Miami Dolphins, that averaged 14.2 points a game. This is a team that scored only 28 points 28 times this year. 28 times, field goal or touchdown. That's all they've scored this year. Your defense allowed this team, with Ryan Fitzpatrick, a 15-year journeyman, to go on drives of 5 straight TDs of this. 84, 75, 75, 61, 96. How does that happen? How do you not have enough pride to allow that to happen? This is not the Patriots. This is arguably the worst team in the league that your defense allowed that to. It's practically impossible when you think about it. It's mind-boggling in proportions what this Eagle team did to lose this game yesterday with the Ertz drops and with this and with that and no balance. The quarterbacks, Mills, Darby, gave up. Mind you, they're playing against a team that has basically one receiver. All right, the tight end has half a talent. One receiver. These two cornerbacks give up 10 catches for 203 yards and three touchdowns. Now, explain that to me. Explain why a defensive coordinator is not able to stop that against a bad football team. I don't have any answers for that. I sit here as perplexed as you are. I can't imagine what I saw. This team scored six straight times against the Eagles. Five straight touchdowns and a field goal. Eagles have a two-touchdown lead in the second half against the worst team in the league and lose the game. I'd love to put it and make it sensible to you. The last 2 weeks, everybody's saying, well, it's the Eagles' defense has finally gotten it back together, and that's the thing that's going to make them survive here as we go down the stretch to win the division. So how from 1 week to the next does this happen? Because this team's soul is broken. Because they don't have enough competitive desire, either in the coaching ranks or on the playing field. And that's the bottom line. I mean, Tyrone, you saw the same thing I did.
Yeah.
If they had enough points to win the game, I don't want to hear about Wentz this, Ertz this, balance your ass. They had enough points to win a game and allow five straight touchdowns to a team averaging 14 points a game.
Thank you, Mike. No, thank you. Because during the green zone, Pat and I said, this was the thing we said. We said we could go through a whole lot of stuff, and I know people will. But if you put up 31 like you're supposed to, your offense had been struggling. You go out and put up 31 on the Dolphins, you can't lose. And if you do lose, something's wrong. And I can't explain how it happened. I'm watching the game, and I still can't explain how it happened. And people will say, there have been people say, oh, it's bad execution, it's bad this. To me, when this happens, doesn't it have to go back to coaching and go back to the head coach? Because if they were good enough, they gave up more points to Fitzpatrick than they gave up to Wilson and Brady combined. Two Hall of Famers. They gave up 34, and Brady didn't even throw one of those touchdowns. So he really gave up 27 to two Hall of Famers and gave up 37 to a journeyman. That's got to be on. That goes back to the coach getting the people ready. Leader, the coach getting people ready. I don't want to hear about Malcolm Jenkins anymore. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, how great a leader he is. That secondary stunk. Yeah, they stunk. That secondary.
There's one guy they had to cover. The whole game, there's one guy they had to cover.
And he started getting the ball out. The pass rush early was working, so they made an adjustment on offense. He was taking three steps and just chucking it up some of those times. He was getting it out under 2 seconds because Cox and those guys were at, Josh Sweat had a sack. They were getting things. They made an adjustment. So how about this, coach? Adjust your coverage because you're not getting home because they're getting rid of it quick. And they never adjusted to it.
How about this? Hey, fellas, we're not going to let that guy, number 11, beat us. All right? So whatever they want to do with Alan Hearns or whatever the hell they're going to throw out there, that guy can't beat you anymore. All right? We ready? We spotted him 2 touchdowns. That's the end. All right? Roll safety, double coverage the whole time. I don't know. Mike, maybe it's me. You've
been doing this for a long time. On Friday, we're going into the game. Everyone thought, I know people get mad at us, everyone thought they were going to win this game. Mm-hmm. Had we known, if we had a crystal ball and we didn't know the Dolphins score, but we knew the Eagles were going to score 31, we would have bet the mortgage. We'd have bet everything that the Eagles would have on the money line.
Listen, I don't want it. It's the first bad game Zach Ertz has had in a long time. Yeah, okay, he missed the ball. It may have been a touchdown. The one in the end zone, he let Eric Rowe strip him. I got it. But we're looking at the wrong things. They had a 2-touchdown lead, and nobody loses a 2-touchdown lead against a bad team. It's documented. 42-0. All right, we'll just listen. This is a day. Go ahead. Just knock yourself out. There are little nuances we're going to talk about. Obviously, the trick play, why he didn't call timeout, and some of the explanations that he had today about which didn't make any sense at all. So, yeah, we'll talk about those obvious things. But, you know, the bottom line is, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, but when you lose a game like that, you're broken. You are broken. And there's no, you need, like, they need so much mechanical help now. Just like picture a broken car and a guy, the mechanic's underneath and going, holy crap. And he's got to like do everything. And that's what this team seems to me right now. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. We're going to have a busy day today. So be patient. Get on. Stack up. Let us know what you're thinking about. We'll move the calls quickly with Brent Westbrook coming on. We have Ron Jaworski coming on. Big show. But this is a Monday after something that I just can't explain. Mike Misnelli Show back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Mike Misinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, then. 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Misinelli Show is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin, Attention HVAC Contractors. This is Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Let's start our Twitter poll for today. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Wondering what to get the family this year. How about giving them their weekends back with the great Husqvarna Auto Mower from Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Just check out the Auto Mower in person at their showroom in Doylestown. Or check them out online at paulbmoyer.com. Just ask for the Misinelli Mower. Natalie, hello.
Hello, Mike.
Hello.
A happy Monday. Well, kind of. Over 200 votes on this one early. Should someone lose their job after yesterday's loss to the Dolphins? 87% saying yes, 13% say no.
Yeah, nobody's going to lose their job. Nobody's losing their job.
That's a violation.
Nobody's losing their job. Wait, they're not going to fire somebody now.
Well, the fans think that they should.
I know the fans do, but it's here's what's going to happen at the end of the year. The coordinators are both going to go. The position coaches will probably change up. The head coach is staying here. The head coach is here. So, the coaches leaving, this is so much deeper than just let's fire a few assistant coaches. It's just, nobody on this team, if you notice this, nobody on this team plays the same consistent way from week to week. There's nobody you can rely on, with the possible exception of Fletcher Cox, who you could rely on earlier in the season. You can kind of rely on now. Who else do you really rely on every week? Ertz, couldn't rely on him yesterday. I guess Lane Johnson, Brooks, you can rely on those guys, but you don't notice them as much. I'm talking about like the active guys on this team, whether it's the cornerbacks, whether it's your defensive line, the one, positions we look at, whether it's the receivers, the quarterback. This is a broken soul team. All right, let's go to the phone. Stick in Clearwater. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stick.
Hey, Mikey.
What's
hey,
up,
only,
Stick?
73 days. Only 73 to spring training, buddy.
Spring training? Are you kidding me?
Hey, look.
We're supposed to look forward to the Phillies?
We have to now.
Come on, man.
Look, I know this is Misery Monday, and I know... you had a great take on how we blew it, yesterday with the defensive side of the ball. But I want to know, how does Rodney McLeod get a pass every week? That guy never gets his uniform dirty. He doesn't cover. He's not a ball hawk. He doesn't get to the quarterback as a blitzer. What's up with the back end of our day?
Clearly a position where they need an upgrade. And Malcolm Jenkins is that good either. So you're talking about four guys that you can't rely on.
Yeah.
You're right. No, he doesn't get a pass. He's not exceptional enough to notice.
Yeah, I mean, he's never got back end help either side.
But Jenkins hasn't done anything either.
It's true that tight end ate his lunch all day yesterday.
Yeah, and McLeod was late in the corner after Mills got beat in that corner touchdown. Parker just ate him. He just ate them guys yesterday. It was ridiculous.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, it's the blame game today. So, you know, and I've got a pet peeve a little bit about the O-line. I mean, I think we're old and overrated. I mean, Sanders got his yardage off of playing his foot and getting outside when the holes weren't there. You know, across that board, you know, Lane and Brooks are...
From the center to the left side, it's going to need attention, obviously.
Exactly.
Now, they think they have a left tackle. The left guard's not that special. The center is really slipping.
Yeah, Kelce tells you every week, it's like, I had my worst year.
He's like, you know, listen, his foot was half out the door anyway. You know, once you start thinking that you maybe not don't want to come back, you kind of lost your zest for the game. Now he's a professional player, but I don't know if his heart is fully in playing football, because the thought crossed his mind that maybe he doesn't want to play. Maybe life on the outside is a little easier. Once you get there, all right, well, then it's fine by me. If that's what you want to do. But you're never going to resuscitate your heart for the game if you're thinking that way.
Yeah, there's a saying, it started in boxing, where they say once you think about retiring, you've retired. Like, once you have one foot out, because it's so hard to be, especially with something this physical.
I don't blame this guy. I mean,
he's a young kid.
He's an undersized center who has been beat to hell, and he just doesn't have it as much as he had.
Yeah. Young wife, young kid, he might want to do that stuff instead of to play football.
Sure. Dave in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
OMG, will you relax? There's a quarter of the season left, and probably...
Now, you are not selling me this today. No way, no how, that they're still going to win the division. Stop it, stop it, stop it.
All right, can I tell you what happened yesterday? Firstly, the temperature on the field yesterday was 119 degrees. Cold weather teams are sucking wind, and they're gassed by the third quarter. And also, Mikey Miss, Ryan Fitzpatrick...
Why are you making excuses for this team today? How could you possibly make excuses and sing the canary tweet about how wonderful things are going to be? Where do you get off doing this today?
Mike, he has done it before, and he has will do it again.
I can't listen to you today, Dave. I can't. I can't do it. I'm sorry. Don't sing me the tweet song. When I lift up my window, I'm hearing construction machinery. I'm not hearing birds tweeting in a tree. Thomas and Broomall, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, guys. Tough loss yesterday. I mean, I watched Eagles Outsiders. Natalie summed this game up with one word: defeat it. I mean, this team flat out sucks. It's hard for me not to laugh at this point, but I have to. They're a laughing stock in this town, in my opinion. They lost to a team that has no business being in this league right now. So, I mean, what do we do next week? Because I think they're going to do the same thing.
They might win next week. Dave is saying is actually technically right, that they actually could win this division at 9-7 if they win one game. Who's to say they can't win one game?
I think they're done.
But,
to be honest,
you know,
I think
I'm just reacting off of what I saw yesterday. I saw a team with a broken soul. I'm not moving ahead about the possibilities that they could still win a division. That's not even in my body today.
Yeah. I mean, especially the post game yesterday was fantastic. Everyone's just frustrated with team. Everybody is. But, I mean, what do we have to go off of? They suck right now. You know?
All right, man. they're broken. This Miami team, right? They should have done a novena at halftime that they were close. They do the worst thing they could possibly do, which is kick an onside kick and give the Eagles a short field to go up two touchdowns. At that point, you go, all right, let me prepare to stew. Hey, let me stir the gravy. Right?
That's what I thought. I thought,
28-14, Miami gives you a touchdown. And you still, what?
I couldn't believe after so it shouldn't have been close. I figure halftime adjustment, Eagles score, like you just said, 28-14, this game's over. They're going to get another three and out, another turnover, and it's over. 28 should have been enough, actually, against that team. And instead, they immediately allow a long drive. Like, right away, they just came down. I could not believe the defense is just out there doing whatever.
Yeah, that's where Mills and McCloud got beat in the corner of the end zone. That touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? That made it 28-20. They missed the PAT. Right? They're
right.
Still going, this team stinks so bad. I'm looking at the first five plays of this game, right?
Yeah.
They're terrible.
They're terrible.
Right? You allowed them off the mat, and now it's 20. They missed a PAT. You still got an 8-point lead. Everything's good. That's when Ertz makes the drop on the next drive, right?
And then the
next drive, if you remember, dumbass that he is, Jernigan, with a second roughing the passer penalty to keep that drive going.
It was unbelievable.
And then he's going, he comes over the top and launches himself
at his head. What are you doing, Jernigan? What are you doing? Do you want to go just be a rapper? Because I don't know about you as a football player right now. What was that? What was that? He looped around to do it too. Like, because he missed him initially. He did a full loop, dived at his head late, and then was shocked there was a call.
Score on that, and they don't make the 2-point conversion, and you still got the lead.
This should be over.
It wasn't enough. Gene in Doylestown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gene.
How are you today, Michael?
What's up, Gene?
I am more than a little annoyed. I'm going to take your Twitter poll one step further. And not only
Gene, you got to do me so. This phone is killing me here. You're all fuzzy. What's going on with your phone?
I don't know. I'm on my cell in my car. I got the radio off and everything.
All right, you got it on speaker?
No, not at all.
Okay, all right. All right.
Any better?
Yeah, it's better. Just make sure you talk into to Mike.
Gotcha.
Okay.
I said I'm going to take the Twitter poll one step further, and not only do I think one of the coaches should be fired, I think Schwartz should step down out of sheer embarrassment over what happened yesterday. That was the worst thing I have ever seen in my life. To after bringing up 14 points to that team and to lose that game in the fashion that they did, allow 5 touchdowns in a row. It's embarrassing. And if I were him, I would step down. But, you know, I get it.
Who has ever stepped down? Seriously. Can you recall anybody in the history of professional football who stepped down in the middle of the season?
No, but 42-0 never happened until yesterday.
Yeah, I get it, but nobody's going to step down and make it worse on themselves. I got so many emails and tweets. Doug Peterson should step down. Yeah, he's going to step down.
I mean, that is overly frustrating. That's what that is. I mean, that's what I am. I'm so frustrated about what happened yesterday. I was one of them guys that called you last week and said, this defense can win a couple games for us coming down the stretch. And now it's what the hell happened? I mean,
this coaching staff has now Schwartz, he threw me for a curve yesterday. I don't know what happened to him yesterday, but he normally can get guys in the proper spots, and you know they can. I don't understand what happened, but this other coaching staff, they cannot think on their feet, including the head coach. He's the worst thinker on his feet I've ever seen. Then the Dolphins come out with that funky formation with a center and the punter behind the center. Now, what's more important, a timeout there or going blindly into the night with that formation? I don't understand it. They see that formation. What could possibly happen? Oh, hold it. Timeout. All right. Here's what we do. If they line up in the same formation, flood the gap so the guy who gets the snap has nowhere to go. Instead, they stood there going, oh, blah, 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 and they allowed the guy to roam left. And then they came charging. Right? If you charge off the snap, he has nowhere to go. So you call timeout, you go, all right, listen, this could be one of those plays. They get the kicker on the field. It's going to go to the punter. Maybe they're doing some wildcat thing. So don't let the kicker slip out and flood that area to prevent the guy who's getting the snap from roaming. Instead, they stood there like this. Blah, 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 blah. I don't still understand it. You're coaching the game.
And then he defended it afterwards, the day after.
What do you think they're going to do on that play? Your guys aren't prepared. They're looking at you like their heads are on a swivel. Like, what the hell's this? Unbelievable. Can we hear what he had to say about that? Do you have that?
I do.
This is what the head coach had to say about that play.
Even if you call a timeout right there, Okay, they could still break the formation and line up exactly the same way. We don't know what they were going to run, right, because the play didn't show. So, you know, it kind of goes either way that way.
What do you mean it goes either way? You call timeout to prepare for the same formation. If they don't come out of the same formation, you've won. They're going to try something different. Then you may have a better shot. It might be more conventional. What the hell kind of an explanation is that?
And if they come out the same way, you've assigned what to do. Right.
Exactly.
You got everybody's got a body.
What kind of an explanation is that?
I don't know. This is what I mean. Him defending it the next day was... there's a chance to say he could just give the I got to do a better job. Just say that. Don't say what he just said.
Listen, I'm sure he's going, I don't want to waste the time out here. Okay, timeouts are precious. Really? Is it more precious than them scoring a touchdown? What? These value judgments these guys are making in their head on the fly that we're all sitting here making. We're making the judgments. They can't make the judgments. They're the head coaches. Eric in Long Island, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Eric.
Mike, I want to get to the defense, Peterson, and then the team itself. First with the defense, you know, what ticks me off the most today is you actually thought this defense was making progress over the last 2 weeks against the Patriots and Seahawks. You know, the corners looked like they were covering. Mills and Darby were actually making some plays. What transpired yesterday on that football field reminded me earlier in the season against the Vikings and Cowboys. At least those teams had competent offenses that can move the ball and shred your defense. Guys were wide open, especially Devontae Parker. And speaking of Devontae Parker, you know, Howie, how about giving up a third or a fourth round pick for the man when you were completely shorthanded the last couple of weeks and had no wide receivers? You could have got the guy, and yet he's shredding your secondary, and you don't see a word or hear from a word from Howie. So I'm tired of him speaking of that guy. As far as Peterson goes, here it is. They're coming down the field with five consecutive possessions of touchdowns. Doug, how about shortening the football game? 46 passing plays to 19 runs. You see your defense can't cover anybody. All right, you're averaging 4.8 yards per carry against the worst rush defense in the league. How about shortening the game,
that
Doug?
That doesn't matter. The balance didn't matter yesterday. They had a 2-touchdown lead. That team scored 6 straight times.
I understand that. And speaking of the team itself, after the Ertz drop, the next play is a sack, little kicky boy missed field goal. And it's almost like the team said, you know what? The hell with it. We're throwing in the towel. That's it. We're quitting. Because that's exactly what happened. Where is the urgency out of these football teams? Like you said earlier, they're broken right now.
But this explanation, like shorten the game, shorten what? They went 85, 96. Shorten the game. You short the game by stopping them. You get off the field. I don't want to hear about this disparity anymore. The Dolphins didn't have a balanced attack yesterday. It didn't hurt them. Oh, this is totally on a defense that could hold a 2-touchdown lead against a team averaging 14 points a game. And nobody could do anything about it. It's like... A 47-year-old quarterback with a beard as long as down to his coyunes and one receiver who's a threat. Rick in Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rick.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
What's up, Rick?
So this whole coaching, I think all year it's been clearly apparent, terrible game schemes. I think they're very stubborn picking the same game style that won them the Super Bowl. They don't even adjust to the team that is now or the enemy that they're facing. They don't even know themselves. They don't know who they're facing. They just try to do the same game plan every week, maybe make a couple of adjustments, but it's pretty vanilla, pretty much the same. It just reminds me of the Waterboy scene where the other coach is reading a book, How to Coach for Dummies, and just using what that's saying to stop.
Bro, listen, I respect your opinion. They were up 28-14. It's not about the vanilla offense. It's not about them doing the same thing. They had enough points to win a game against a bad team.
But it's the attitude. It's the attitude it builds. It builds an attitude where it's like, all right, we're going to win. We're going to do this. We already know we've been doing this for weeks. We're just going to go out there.
That didn't apply yesterday. One thing applied.
Doug Peterson, even in his press conference.
One thing applied.
There's no attitude.
The defensive coordinator couldn't stop a journeyman quarterback.
Yeah, shorts.
It's nothing to do with the same game plan. That was all a defensive meltdown.
You can't play the wide nine with the coverage we have.
Yeah, back on the wide nine. it's not the wide nine either. Come on, man. For the last 2 weeks, their defense was pretty good, wasn't it? Why wasn't it yesterday? I don't know. But nobody on this team plays the same way from week to week. They don't have enough guys who are competitive to get the job done. And when it's 28-14 to say, this team is not beating us. They don't have that. It's not the game plan being the same. Kevin in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Kev?
I know you're on fire today, and you know, I'm just going to say a few things that, you know, what I want to say. This is why I say I take one game at a time, because if you take one game at a time, you won't get like this. So I'm not really fired up, Mike, because I'm just taking one game at a time. But I would like
what do you mean one game at a time? There's no way they should lose to the Dolphins. All right, I'm taking one game at a time. I took the Dolphins. That should be a win.
Mike, I know, Mike, you said
that. I'm not looking ahead. Mike, I'm taking it one game at a time. The one game they didn't win.
Mike, you said last week that there was no way that they're going to lose
to the Dolphins. And there shouldn't have been any way they lost. Mike, they had a 28-14 lead.
I know, Mike. It's not the Dolphins, Mike. It's just Fitzpatrick has the Eagles' numbers. Schwartz is 0-4 against Patrick. He's 0-4. It's not the Dolphins' bad team. It's Patrick. They cannot beat this quarterback for some reason. He kills the Eagles.
I need reasons. See, I just can't. Yeah, with all due respect, I can't sit here and say for some reason they can't beat this guy, because that doesn't have any logic to it.
Well, they're 0-4 against him.
Yeah, I understand it, but it has no logic. Like, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, well, they just can't beat Fitzpatrick. Let's move on. No.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But he's got their number, Mike. He's got
their number. He shouldn't have their number. How's that? I think it's sitting here. Ah, well. He's got their number. Give me another cup of coffee. Come on.
The 4-0 thing is weird.
It's a fluke.
It right? could be a Schwartz.
Fluky things happen. I don't know. You know, if you cover a guy, what's the hard part about covering a guy? You got one guy you got to worry about. It's like basketball. That guy's not going to beat me. Somebody else want to beat me? That guy there, he's game on today. He's not going to beat me.
We see it all the time.
Defensive coordinator. That guy will not beat me.
Go to somewhere else, right?
Right. Whatever I have to do, if I just have to man up these other stiffs and they beat me, I'll sleep. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
Mike Missinelli
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I hate Steven Singer. I really hate him today, damn it. Now, you've heard that for years. You wonder, what does that mean? Well, this time of the year, most other jewelers love to hate Steven Singer. Why? Because Steven just does a better job selling you the most beautiful, best value diamond studs anywhere. You can choose a great pair of Anita diamond stud earrings for under $270. And they're the best quality, too. 100% flawless to the eye. And they're colorless with tons of sparkle. Now, diamond studs is the number one gift on our list. You know it. I know it. And lucky for you, it's a gift that will last a lifetime. Because Steven Singer gives everyone a full lifetime trade-in guarantee. That means you can trade up your diamond studs for the full value anytime you want. So give her a gift that will grow with your love. Diamond stud earrings. Christmas shopping is done, all at the perfect price at Steven Singer Jewelers. Fast and free shipping. Check them out. Steven Singer Jewelers, the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philadelphia. Online at IHateStevenSinger.com. No one does real diamond studs better than Steven Singer Jewelers.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
2:45. All right, I had to calm down. I got 45 minutes of angst out. I'm good.
You calm?
I'm good.
You're calm?
I'm calm now. Yeah, I was just a little on edge thinking about this, you know, like yesterday watching that game and going, there's no possible way that this team is bad enough to allow this stink-ass team to win the game. Right? I thought, all right, they're up 24. All right, so they score a touchdown. So it's not going to be as easy as we thought. I never expected that the Miami Dolphins would be able to outscore them and then cement the deal. I had no possibility of that happening in my head.
I agree. And I thought if the only thing I thought could possibly happen would be multiple pit interceptions, multiple fumbles. The only turnover was on the very last play of the game on the Hail Mary. So there were no turnovers. How do you let them score 37 without them generating a single turnover? Like, how's that happen?
I don't know. But, see, a lot of the – I know people were saying, well, Fitzpatrick was getting it out of his hands quick. Yeah, I get it. He was getting it out of his hands quick. He also needed some time to hit Parker on some lengthy down-and-field throws, right? And they didn't get any pressure on him. So there's another flaw in their defensive plan. Ain't any pressure on him at all. And then the drive where they started at the 4, pass interference on Mills on that one play, and then he gets beat again on the long pass. It's inexplicable. Like, their defense was the thing that you could rely on. When we're talking about how they're going to win a division, Tyrone, you're going, they're not going to win a division. I'm going, they can win a division because their defense has risen to a certain level.
It looked like that, though. It did. Yeah. I thought they were going to play well.
Right. And with Dallas scuffling along, their defense could play at that level. They're still game at home and win a division. Like, how did things like that happen yesterday that the defense just goes, we stink? After 2 weeks in a row playing decent against decent teams. Sean, Northeast Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Sean?
I hate to say I told you so, Ty.
I'll stop with your told me so.
I called him yesterday.
I'm glad. Wonderful. You want a pat on the back? We'll send you, you want some candy?
I want a pat on the back.
What do you want?
I want a 2-minute rant.
We'll send you some candy. Go ahead.
All right. Now, we have a high school coach that's our head coach. You can tell by the way the team plays. It's like unorganized, undisciplined. It's a complete mess, and it starts from him. I know you're saying the whole balance thing is not a big deal, but time of possession is how you win games. And when you're not holding onto the ball by running it, you're allowing teams to get back in games and win them. Yes, the defense was terrible. I don't know how you didn't just put 3 guys on Parker and say everybody else try and beat us. It's incredible how you can't stop one guy.
Let me ask you a question. Were they moving the ball, throwing the ball yesterday?
Yeah, but that's a different team.
I'm asking you a question. What was so necessary about them having to run the ball yesterday when they were moving the ball via the pass? They weren't having problems moving the ball. They put 28 points on the board.
Yes, and once you have a lead, you want to.
You're just picking at something because it's out there, because the number is out there. You go, wow, the balance was no good. They had enough points to win the game, but the defense stops a lousy-ass team.
Yeah, but it's the Chip Kelly thing all over again. When your defense is on the field too much, they're getting bad.
Against the Dolphins?
Obviously,
this is a terrible team.
So, exactly. So, it starts with coaching, like I said, and from then on out, it's just there's no leaders. Nobody stands up and admits anything. It's a complete mess, and it's scary because this coach probably here at least 2 more years if he gets them in the playoffs again, and we're going to end up wasting the franchise quarterback's career because
just such a mess, and we don't know how to draft right. The worst picks we have are at corner and wide receiver, and that's what we need the most.
Well, you're painting a very bleak picture, which is fairly accurate. But you know the coach isn't going anywhere, so you got to deal with what you got to deal with. He's staying at least one more year. Now, if they have a bad year next year, he's gone. But not enough time has gone by from the Super Bowl to fire a guy. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know that. That's why.
All right, so there you go. So next year, you got to hope that he's a better coach. I don't know. What's the likelihood of that? With different coordinators, with different position coaches, maybe he's a better coach. And you got to hope that the general manager finds religion and drafts some guys they can play. At this point, there are a lot of things wrong. You got aging players you have to replace. You got to look at your defense now, the whole back end. You got two aging safeties you have to think about now. Forget about the corners. There's four guys back there you got to think hard about now. You got to be savvy in free agency. They're right now where the Phillies are.
I agree with that.
There's a lot of things they need to do, and you can't do it all at once.
Right, which means you either have to get lucky or somebody has to develop, and that goes back to the coaches, which you mentioned they'll probably change. Maybe you develop a guy. But yesterday was a day where I got mad at Howie about the third touchdown they gave up, about that Sidney Jones pick, because he was supposed to be the guy to be out there and be a lockdown corner so you wouldn't have to worry about these things. That's why it was worth waiting a whole year on the guy and all that stuff, and then the guy was a healthy scratch. He was supposed to take one of those spots and be the guy, according to Howie. And the guy's not even dressed, and your corners are getting torn up. And this is the guy I'm supposed to trust to fix it? The guy who caused it? I don't feel good about it. I don't feel good about it, Mike.
Well, I'm trying to take one day at a time here.
I get you, but I was just mad because, one, I'm like, how's this former second-round pick not even dressed? You get Cravon LeBlanc, and he's back playing, and this guy can't even dress. And then when I see the corners getting burned, I'm going, this is who he picked? This guy? Because I think they're gonna lose one of the games to the Giants, and they're going to lose to Dallas. They'll beat Washington, so they're going to end up
at this point, you could be right.
7-9.
I didn't think it was possible they could lose to bad football teams the way their defense is playing, but now their defense has been cracked, so now their whole soul's cracked. Like, where? How can I rely on anything at this point? Really? You can't really say an unreliable team. Jamil, Southwest Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, man?
Hey, Mike. Hey, everybody.
How you doing?
All right, good. Listen, they got to rebuild. They got to overhaul. Because at the beginning of the season, I thought they were a 12-win team, but I know they got a lot of injuries, but they just don't have no impact players nowhere for forever.
You're right. When you look at it, they're not a guy. Like, Miles Sanders is a guy you have some hope for, right?
Right.
And, but the whole organization. After that, you go, okay, I got two guys on the right side of the line that I can rely on. Now, tell me where else, what are we relying on? Well, Ertz, the tight end, you can rely on him a little bit.
Yeah,
really? I mean, that's four guys.
Two drops, right?
You can't even rely on the quarterback right now. You don't even know what he is.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. They got to overhaul him, you know, from top to bottom. They're not good.
I don't know.
You know, they're not very good at all. Coaching everybody.
It's such a weird game, though. You know, guys that stink one week, they're good the next. I can't figure it out, man.
So it all boils down to that these guys really don't have no talent. You know, Wentz is going to be all right if he gets some weapons. But other than that, Ty Roseman don't draft good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when's the last time we had an impact player on offense or defense?
It's been a while. Maybe. Well, Fletcher Cox.
Fletcher Cox, yeah. But other than that, how about the guy they traded? How about Michael, what's his name? Kendrick. He's doing pretty good over here where he's at.
Yeah.
But, you know, the bottom line is we had a chance to get Metcalf, and we didn't get him.
Yeah, they didn't draft him.
Yeah,
but what are you talking about? The kid they drafted got a touchdown yesterday, another broken play. He's the broken play specialist, didn't he?
Yeah.
He can't run a pattern directly, but he can kind of float around, and maybe when the quarterback scrambles, he finds him.
Yeah. Didn't do much else. And that Mac Hollins. That Mac Hollins, like, thanks, Howie. He was going to be the backup to Deshaun.
Yeah.
How's that working?
He's a beauty, that one.
Every time he's on the field, something bad happens. And I got to hear the wide receiver coach say how great he grades out.
That's the truth. Every time he's on the field, something bad happens.
Every time. Like, come on. He cost them 4 points. It could have been even more points. He cost them with the penalty. Aguilar makes a great play.
The funny thing about that penalty, it wasn't even a man's penalty. It was a sneak push in the back penalty.
Yes.
Like, if you jack somebody up, at least give you respect. It was a weasel penalty.
Yeah. And Aguilar has his best play of the year. He breaks 5 tackles, gets a first down, called back.
All right. 610-632-0975. Going to be busy all day. We'll rack the calls. We'll get through as many as we can. We around the NFL coming up at 3:30, like we care about around the NFL. But I'll do my best right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.